Let's move to 3 John now. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. So again, this is John writing. He refers to himself as the elder, showing his place in the New Testament church. He is one of the leaders in the New Testament church. This time we are quite certain he is writing to one individual whose name is Gaius. And when you look at 2 John and the elect lady and her children, it is written very differently than this very personal letter that we know is written to a single person, which is why it's better to see 2 John as being written to a church, because it's very formal in its style, while this is very informal and very personal. So if the elect lady and her children was an actual family, you would expect more personal language like what we see in 3 John. We don't know much about Gaius. It was a common name in the first century. We know that a man named Gaius shows up twice in the book of Acts. He was from Derbe, and he was a traveling companion of the Apostle Paul. Probably not the same Gaius that John is writing to. We know another man named Gaius shows up in both Romans and 1 Corinthians, who was a convert of Paul. He was baptized by Paul in Corinth and opened his home, and Paul used his home as a sort of a home base, a headquarters, as he planted the church in Corinth. Now, Corinth is very close to Ephesus, where John's writing from, so it may be that is the same Gaius that was converted by Paul and helped the church at Corinth get started, but we don't have enough information really to pull the trigger on that. But we do know about Gaius is that John loved him very much. He calls him beloved. That word's going to show up three more times in this letter. John loves, has a personal relationship with Gaius, whom he loves in the truth. Verse 2, beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. So this is a common greeting in the ancient world between two friends, right? Good health, and even better than health, righteous soul, man, right? Good health is good for us while we're on this earth, but we all know that these bodies are going to rot and decay, that this body that we're in is not our glorified state. We will have a physical body there, but it will not be this temporary body, this corruptible body. So it is good for our soul, right, to be healthy, even more healthy for the soul than for the body. The general greeting amongst friends, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, and indeed you are walking in the truth. Right? So John has sent out brothers to these other churches all around Asia Minor. Remember, John is the last surviving of the 12 disciples at this time. He is a real gift to the New Testament church at this time, and he is making sure people are, right? There's so many deceivers. That's what 2 John was about. The deceivers, don't even greet them. Shut the door on the false teachers. But those who are preaching the truth, those who are faithful to the gospel, John is sending as many of those guys out to love, serve, and encourage all the churches that have been planted all over the known Roman world at this time. And some of those brothers have come back to John and said, oh man, Gaius is such a blessing. He welcomed us. He opened his door to us. He fed us. He mended our clothes. He took care of our needs while we were there serving the church. Gaius is a true brother. He loves Jesus. He's working hard for Jesus. He's one of our best guys over there to help us continue our gospel work. And so these brothers come back and tell John all this, and John's just rejoicing as anyone would rejoice who has given themselves to the work of the Lord. We love when the brothers and sisters are honoring Jesus and following his word and loving and equipping one another and sharing what they have for the sake of the gospel, to partner in the gospel. So John is rejoicing at the good report that he has heard. Verse 4 says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, some will say that because verse 4 here says what it does, that Gaius is actually a convert from the ministry of John, much like a Apostle Paul and Timothy relationship, son in the faith, Apostle Paul and Titus relationship. But at the same time, we need to understand that John uses little children quite a bit. Number one, he's the oldest guy around in the first century. I mean, he's in his late 80s, early 90s at the writing of this, which was very strange. So everybody to John was a little child, and he did love that terminology because it showed the family of God for what it is. He's our father. We are his children. We are brothers and sisters together. John uses a lot of that language frequently as well. So it's best just to take Gaius as one of the faithful saints who is encouraged to continue being faithful by John, his good friend. Let's move into some of the meat of the text now. That was the greeting. Verse 5, beloved, again, beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. So again, John just saying, thank you so much. You are accepting these guys and showing hospitality to these guys, not because you know them, not because you're good friends with me, but because we're the ones who are sending and you love and honor us in the truth. And so you're helping us do our gospel work. This is a good thing. This is life in the manner that is worthy of. This is what we're supposed to be doing, is what John said. So he's commending Gaius here for his hospitality. Verse 7, for they have gone out for the sake of the name. Now let me just stop here for just one quick little, this is where I put my teacher hat on and kind of geek out over something. Now remember, this is in the late first century that they're writing. Nero has happened. The burning of Jerusalem has happened. John has seen all of this history take place. Christianity is under heavy persecution at this time. So why wouldn't he just say, hey, he talks about truth a lot, but he doesn't say the gospel in this letter. He says the name. He doesn't say, why doesn't he just say Jesus, right? John's a Jesus guy. Why didn't he just get out there and say Jesus? Because he's sending a personal correspondence from himself to an individual person. And he knows that his language has to be a bit cryptic, because if the courier is stopped and the letter is looked at, Gaius will be incriminated and will be arrested and will be persecuted. So the language here is very cryptic. But we do know the name which all these people are working in. It is none other than the name of Jesus Christ, the most powerful name, the name above all names. Amen. So, for they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Now, something very interesting. Many of you will have heard the Bible verses that talk about freely we have been given, so freely we also give in the work of the gospel. This is the way the New Testament church operated. They never went anywhere. Paul never went anywhere with his hand out. He didn't come into Corinth with a handout saying, hey, you guys support me and I'll teach you the gospel. No, he went and he made tents first until the church was started, and then he began to allow the church to minister to him, and he could stop making tents and devote himself full time. But it's only from God's people that resources come for the work of the gospel. He says, these brothers went out. We don't ask anything from the Gentiles. We don't ask anything from the people we're trying to preach the gospel to, for the people we're trying to serve. No, what's right is it's God's people, therefore, who ought to support. Since they're not going with hands out, but only with gospel proclamation to lift up Jesus, it is the role of God's people to support this work and to support these efforts, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. Not everyone is called with gifts of oration. Not everyone is called with gifts of traveling evangelism. But we should support the works of our brothers and sisters who are doing these works, because it makes us partakers in the ministry of the gospel. Just this morning, we don't have time for a rabbit trail, but just this morning, some brothers came to the church who we'd sent out to plant Adoration Church across town. And so they were here, and I got to talk with them for a little while, and we're encouraging one another in what God is doing both here and both there. And as they, you could tell there's always that kind of little hesitation, and right, and they love seeing what God's doing here too, and right, but you kind of feel bad because you're over there now, and you don't, right, these weird allegiances are formed. And I just said, hey, stop. I said, look around. You guys have been here from almost the beginning. Everything God does, even though you're over there at Adoration, everything God is doing here, you guys have been part of all that. There's going to be jewels in your crown for all the blood you put on the ground. There's a reward for you guys for all the hard work. And every salvation over the next 100 years of this church exists, every salvation, every good thing that God does, man, they are partakers in that, even though they're not here anymore. This is how the gospel works, amen. Everything we do for his name, where we support, man, we are building the church of Jesus Christ, and we're partakers in the gospel work, and we should be. It's our job, it's our role to be partakers any way that we can. No, I'm not going to turn that into a tithes and offering sermon. You're welcome. Verse 9. Here's where things get funky. I have written something to the church. We know that John wrote many letters to different churches that he was involved with and had relationships with and knew personally. He was concerned for the churches, that they stayed in the faith, that they adhered to the truth, that they weren't deceived by false teachers. He said, I have written something to the church that Gaius is a member in. Gaius is connected to this church in some way. He knows the names that are being mentioned here. And I just want to point out, the apostle of love doesn't mince his words here. He tells it as he sees it, and he's a bit miffed at a man named Diotrephes. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first. That's powerful language from the apostle of love, amen? Nope, not with me anymore. Awesome. Diotrephes likes to put himself first. We're fixing to read about 4 reasons how Diotrephes puts himself first. But before we get there, just let me, man, pride is what caused Satan to fall from heaven like lightning. Lucifer is a created being, created by God. He got to enjoy all of the blessings of being in the presence of God. But in Lucifer's heart, he began to exalt himself. He began to drink his own Kool-Aid in our nomenclature. And even though God was on the throne, he began to scratch his head and go, I could probably do a better job. I think I should sit on the throne, right? It was the sin of pride that created all of the conflict that we now find ourselves in. And pride has not left our human nature or vocabulary either all this time later. It's still a problem. Diotrephes likes to put himself first. Diotrephes thinks he's more important. Look what he says. He does not acknowledge our authority. Here is one. You remember how 1 John started? I walked with him. I spoke with him. I touched him. I was there with Jesus. I'm an eyewitness of all these things. I'm telling you the truth. Well, Diotrephes thinks, John's time has come and gone. It's now time for Diotrephes. He no longer accepts the authority of John or fellow elders working in the church. He only thinks of himself. He puts himself first. And just in 8 minutes, let's just think for a moment. I want you to think about you, your family, your circle of friends. How can we know if we're wrestling being a Diotrephes? How can we know if this sin is our sin? I think there's a way that we can pinpoint if we're thinking a little too much of ourselves. So in your group, in your circle, I want you to think, who is it in your group that is the best armchair quarterback, right? Who is it, and it may be you, who is it that's always got the answers, who can always point out what everybody else is doing wrong, who always has something a little off color, maybe even something bad to say about other people who are trying to do something? You can tell who Diotrephes is because there's one thing Diotrephes will never do. Diotrephes will never admit when he is wrong. Can that be said of you? Can that be said of someone in your circle, in your group? Because what Christians do who put Jesus first and have Jesus on the throne, we're good at repenting. We know that every issue and every source of tension, that we're involved in that a little bit ourselves too, that we're part of the problem and we bring our problems to the table as well. The only thing that can keep us from being a Diotrephes, who's a real problem to the church, is knowing who we are. That's why we called our leadership team here at Four Points the Dead Dog Society. Right? Leaders here, this is not some badge of honor where we get to say, hey, we're better than everybody else, so follow me. No, we are not the answer. We simply know who the answer is. His name is Jesus. And he raises up dead dogs like us, right? We need to be a people who don't think too much of ourselves, but can still get on our knees and admit when we are wrong. People that can't admit when they're wrong. If you've got a friend who's always got something to say and you've never heard them apologize for anything ever, probably a good time to sit down and have a talk. Because none of us are the answer. None of us have this all figured out. None of us wants to be a Diotrephes who thinks too highly of themselves. And so they are robbed of that holistic picture of what the church is supposed to be. And everything just becomes about them. What else does Diotrephes do? So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing. So Diotrephes has alienated people in the church from the authority of John and from the brothers that John is sending to love them and to encourage him. Diotrephes doesn't want anyone else speaking into his people. He's gained a following for himself. He likes being the center of attention. He likes people looking at him and him giving them all the answers. And not content. Wait, so if I come, I will bring up. I'm going to let these people know what he is doing. And listen, some of you have romanticized visions of the early church. Early church is just like us. People. So mo people, mo problems. Thank you, Nathan. Mo people, mo problems, right? But God has given us tools to work through our issues and to work through our problems together. And we have to do that or we become Diotrephes who can't listen to anyone because he's right. If I come, I'm going to bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us, lying, false accusations, assassinating the character of John in smaller groups where John's not there to defend himself. Wicked nonsense. That's who Diotrephes, that's what he does. He speaks wicked nonsense because the worse he can make other people look, guess what? The higher on the pedestal he can become. It's what proud people do. They speak wicked nonsense. Everyone else gets brought low so that they can rise up. speaking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. All these people we're sending who are faithful to the gospel, he refuses. Right? Second John was all about shutting the doors on the false teachers. But hospitality should be shown to brothers and sisters who are faithful in the gospel. He closes the door on the faithful brothers. And not only that, he stops those who want to welcome them and puts them out of the church. We have got a guy who has hijacked the entire work and made it about him, and no one else can speak. He shuts the door on all those who are sent, and it's only about what he wants people to hear. And if anyone has a different opinion or wants to listen to the people of John, they're turned out of the church. This guy's a real fun guy, isn't he? Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. So this is the strongest imperative command in this entire letter. It's really the only strong imperative command in this entire letter. A little earlier he talks about we ought to support people, but this is an imperative. This is a do this. Don't imitate evil. Don't be Diotrephes. Do good. And then he gives us a second name, someone that we can look to and know the difference between Diotrephes and what we're supposed to be doing. He mentions a man named Demetrius. He has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. So he says, I'm sending Demetrius to. Demetrius was the courier who was carrying probably 2nd and 3rd John together. Many believe the elect lady is the actual church that was written to, where Diotrephes was working within. And so he's sending the second letter to Gaius, who's a member of that church, to know that not only is John sending faithful brothers to encourage and love and set things straight, but that John's coming too, and it's not going to be long. And he's going to make everyone aware of what is happening. But he says of Demetrius, he is commended by all the brothers, and we ourselves put our stamp of approval upon him. And this is the way it should work within the kingdom of God. There are no lone rangers out doing their own thing, but it's the church working together, partnering in the gospel, sending and receiving love from our brothers and sisters all over the world. Amen. Demetrius is somebody that you can imitate. Diotrephes is someone that makes us look carefully in the mirror to make sure we don't have any of the characteristics that he contains, because people who do evil do not know God. That's enough to send any blood-bought Christian in this room right now to their knees going, God, if there's any Diotrephes in me, get it out. It's what we do as Christians. We repent of sin. We know we're part of the problem. God, help us be more like Demetrius, down with Diotrephes. When is the last time you, in front of someone else, repented of sin? When's the last time you, with a brother or sister or with a spouse, said, you know what? In this situation, I did wrong and I'm part of the problem and I can see that. People who never do that have a little bit of Diotrephes in them, and it can kill you. We are a humble people. Jesus is our King. He is the head of the entire body. We are not. I have much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you, walking in the wholeness that God gives us because we have grace and we have mercy. We can walk without tension in our relationships with Him. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends each by name. Hey, guys, you know everybody that's over here with me, and we all send you our love. And we know all those people who are there with you that are faithful. Do this for me. Greet each one of them by name from us. You can see the early correspondence between people in the early churches. This is not bureaucratic, authoritative nonsense. This is not church politics. This is loving relationships between brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ who want the gospel to go forward more than they want Diotrephes and people like him to hijack and wreck what God is doing. Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. Father, and I pray that we take the heart of this letter and we look deeply into ourselves. Father, if there are traces, and if we're honest with ourselves, we all have traces of Diotrephes in us. We can all become Diotrephes. Help us. God, help us to see it now. Help us to fight against it. May we wage war against pride and other sins that creep into our lives. Father, make us a repentant people. And even this morning, we repent of our sin. Father, help us to be a blessing to your work. Help us to use the gifts you have given us well. Father, that your work may go forward. You have called and equipped us into your work. May we be faithful stewards. God, I pray that you would repair relationships that have been harmed amongst brothers and sisters in this room and across our community. Father, help us to be people, even when we do wrong, even when we are in the wrong, Father, that we make it right. We don't leave it wrong. Jesus, may we be like Demetrius, the faithful brother. May we love one another well. It is in the name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said, amen.